Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
After winning three straight, Purdue's fallen on hard times, losing a couple of games in the last week to leave it evaluating where it stands now. We'll do the same on Golden Black Radio. Hi, I'm Kyle Charters. We'll talk hoops, recruiting, and more coming up on the show today. Special thanks to our sponsors, Follett's and RE/MAX Realtor Bobby Charters, for sponsoring our show all season long. We have a bit of a delay here as we wait for one of my colleagues to call in, either Brian Newbert or Stacey Clarity. The Boilermakers take a loss against Wisconsin on Saturday, a game in which Purdue was in it at the half and then saw the Badgers take a lead early on in the second half that Purdue was unable to overcome. And the Boilermakers lose that game after losing a midweek contest at Northwestern, one in which they got it to double overtime, but looked a little disappointing, obviously, in a loss at the Wildcats. All right, Brian joining us now. Let's hit our hot five for today. I know Brian in his car, a little bit busy this morning with our 600th two-hour delay here locally of the winter. Brian, let's hit topic number one. You know, some ugly basketball on Saturday. The Boilermakers are losers of two straight, as we mentioned, and really it hasn't been very pleasant either.
Yeah, no, and I'm not in my car. I didn't have time to get to my car. Yes, it's obviously this has been kind of a potentially season-turning swing here at games. Obviously, they flat-out gave one away at Northwestern. I don't think anybody can put any other sort of description on that. They flat-out had that game won and then just handed it over to Northwestern. Against Wisconsin, you know, I thought that Wisconsin was much more the Wisconsin team that started the season 14-0 than had lost their last three. Wisconsin, no matter what they had done the three games prior to coming to Purdue, I think it's still a pretty good team. I don't think there's any shame in losing to Wisconsin. I think there is some shame in how Purdue lost to Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin comes out and gets eight of the game's first nine rebounds. That's a direct indictment, if you ask me, of I guess Purdue's head being screwed on straight in a pretty big game on their home floor. When Purdue has been good this season, it's been good on the boards, and Purdue let Wisconsin dominate the boards early. Got them out to an 11-point lead right away and kind of set the tone for the whole day. So Purdue really has to get back to what had made it a pretty competitive team the three games it had won prior to this little two-game squad.
Topic number two, and this is the thing that sort of stuck out to me watching the game on Saturday, was just the number of bad shots that Purdue took. You know, I don't know what percentage you could put on it. 50%, that might be a little bit of high of shots that you could deem as bad shots, but you know, man, there in the second half, when they're trying to hang with the Badgers, they just didn't get very many good looks at the basket.
Yeah, I think I don't want to blame inexperience. I know the excuse crowd will love that, but I think, you know, some of that inexperience is starting to come out at the wrong time here. I thought, you know, Kendall Stevens had a little bit of a quick trigger. There's kind of a fine line there where you want a kid to be aggressive, but you don't want a kid to be too aggressive, so you don't want to neuter him, so to speak, but at the same time, you want him looking for a shot. So when he takes too many, you know, it's like, would you rather wind a kid down or wind a kid up? I thought Sterling Carter had a little bit of a quick trigger, too.
Yeah.
I think Purdue just shot too many threes the last couple of games. I don't think you should ever get too hung up on number as opposed to the caliber of the shots being taken, but I just don't think Purdue's getting terribly good looks. I think if they move the ball around a little bit better, including in and out of the post a little bit more, make the defense move, find, you know, people in weak spots of the defense for open shots, I think it would be a little bit better. But right now they're just kind of chucking every now and then.
Yeah. All right, topic number three, A.J. Hammonds. You know, Purdue wants to establish the big man inside. It's hard to do when he gets in foul trouble, and he not only did that against Wisconsin, but then he got in more foul trouble. You know, have opponents figured him out a little bit? And Purdue seems to really be struggling with its rotations after the ball does get into the post with trying to get, you know, an open player somewhere else. It just seems like, it goes in there, and these days something bad is happening when it does.
Yeah, Purdue obviously has a very good track record getting the ball inside and having a lot of success with some of the players Purdue had in the past, in Carl Landry and Juwan Johnson. But those guys were a little bit different. They were a little bit quicker. I shouldn't say a little bit quicker. They were a lot quicker, a lot more explosive, a lot more probably skilled facing the basket. They could do a lot of different things. When Hammonds gets the ball down low, oftentimes he's kind of a sitting duck in the sense that, you know, he's a 7 foot, 260-pound guy. Everything he does is deliberate. You know,
yeah.
Matt Painter doesn't want his offense to be deliberate, but when you're that big, everything you do by definition is deliberate. So when he gets the ball, he locks his knees 8 feet from the basket to go into his move. He's just asking for the double and triple team to come. And when it gets there, oftentimes he gets stuck. They have to move the ball in and out of there. They have to make the second pass. When 60% of the opposing lineup is focused on one guy, that should mean that 40% of yours should have an advantage. And I don't think Purdue's doing a very good job lately finding the 40%.
Yeah. And that brings me to topic number four. You know, it seems to me of that 40%, you know, at any one time, there's still on this team a couple of guys out there who the defense really doesn't have to respect on the perimeter from a three-point shooting point of view, right? And that's a little bit of the problem still with this team, similar to last year, right? I mean, there's always two guys out there who the defense doesn't have to really pay that close attention to outside of 15 feet.
Well, I think obviously Ronnie Johnson's shooting 41% from three-point range. I think you have to respect him now. I think you always have to respect Kendall Stevens. I think Tyrone Johnson's made enough shots now this season where I think you have to respect him at least to an extent. I think Raphael Davis lately has made some jump shots. I don't think any opponents are going to start to craft their game plans around stopping him, but he has made a couple jumpers the last two games. So I don't think the Purdue can't shoot label applies anymore. I think Purdue's a better shooting team than it was a year ago. I just think it has to take good shots.
All right, topic number five, and this might be a short one. Any positives here that you can see? I mean, it's been a rough week, to say the least.
Yeah, no, I don't really see any positives. The Northwestern game, there are no positives at all. Purdue just flat out screwed that one up. Don't want to be too blunt, but when you're up 7 points with 13 minutes to go, or however late in the game it was, it actually might have been seven again with like 6 or 7 minutes to go against a team that really, really, you know, struggles to score and just isn't very good. And every win is so important for you. You just can't afford to give that game away, and Purdue did give that game away. You know, you can talk all you want about the officiating. I think Purdue could have gotten a lot more calls than it did, including the foul on A.J. Hammonds at the end of the first overtime. But, you know, Purdue can't play for fouls. It has to play for shots. And I just think offensively right now, Purdue's not showing, not looking like it's playing for very good shots. That obviously has to turn around. So Purdue has to get back to rebounding. Obviously, they were even against Wisconsin. But they have to win games on the boards. They can't let teams come out and get eight of the game's first nine rebounds like they did against Wisconsin.
Yeah. All right, that's our Hot 5 break time. Be sure to get your tweets into us as well for segment 3. Tweet us at goldandblack.com. We'll be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more basketball, look ahead a bit, and football recruiting as well as we wind down to signing day. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Gold and Black Radio.
We all want our Boilermakers to work hard, know their job, and succeed. It's the same with real estate. Hi, I'm RE/MAX Lafayette Group Realtor Bobby Charters. I, too, promise to work hard, know the job, and succeed. Whether I'm helping you sell your home in the fastest time at the best price, or I'm helping you find the perfect home for you and your family, let me help. I'm Bobby Charters. Reach me at 765-426-9545 or at bobbycharters@gmail.com. That's Bobby with an I.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
All right, Brian, the Boilermakers back in action again on Thursday, right? Thursday against Michigan. And then over the weekend, at Penn State. Both games on the road, which might not be a terrible thing for this Purdue team. It, you know, certainly it's in need of victories. And the first one this week, at least, will not be very easy to do.
No, obviously Michigan's one of the hottest teams in the country right now, coming off three straight wins over top 10 opponents. You don't see that every day. They're obviously red hot right now. Purdue's played pretty well in Chrysler Arena. It's the last couple times there, even kind of against all odds a few years ago on Senior Day in 2011. Purdue needed to win there to get in the NCAA tournament. Michigan was a very heavy favorite, and Purdue won there pretty convincingly. And last year, when Purdue on paper had no chance whatsoever against a very, 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 very good Michigan team that ended up going to the Final Four, ended up going to the national title game, Purdue played pretty well for a half, and then it kind of got away from them in the second half. So Purdue has competed there. I think if Purdue plays like Purdue can play, I don't see any reason why they can't play with these teams. I don't know if I would pick them to win any of these games on the road, but Purdue's played a little bit better, I think, on the road than they have at home. I don't think on the road this year you've seen anything like what happened against Wisconsin, where I keep going back to Wisconsin gets eight of the game's first nine rebounds. Purdue seems more focused on the road, or more, I guess, understanding of what it has to do to win games, and that's just kind of confusing as to why that would be the case. You're supposed to play better at home. You know, there's a reason they call it home court advantage. It's because it's an advantage, and Purdue doesn't seem to get any sort of bump from its home floor like it used to.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit of football recruiting. The news this morning, or late last night, I guess, was that A.J. Allen has decided on Kansas State. So there's one of the two junior college offensive tackles that Purdue really is focused in on here over the last couple of weeks of this recruiting cycle having gone. What does that tell you? I mean, Purdue needs somebody here. They need at least one. They probably needed two, and one's off the board.
Yeah, well, they obviously still have the offer out to Miguel Machado. I don't know what their chances are ultimately going to be there, because I think Michigan State's going to be a real player there. And obviously he's already committed to the other school in his top three, Washington State. So not sure where Purdue is going to fall on that one. If that's the case, Purdue, I assume, wouldn't get any junior college offensive linemen, which obviously is something they wanted to get, because offensive tackle is a huge question mark. The last thing you want to do at the last second is reach on somebody who can't play. Obviously, you identified certain guys that you wanted. If you don't get them, I think you probably just have to make the best of it with what you have. It would be awful difficult to recruit more freshman offensive linemen and expect any of those guys to have an impact right away. Only the select few high school offensive tackles are ready-made to play right away, let alone play at a level Purdue is going to need some offensive tackles to play to next year. So if Purdue can't get the junior college guys, and I should point out there's no guarantee the junior college guys would have been an instant fix. They would have just been older, more experienced, more physically prepared guys to potentially factor in that starting mix. I know Purdue was telling them they'd have a chance to start right away, and they would, because there are no established incumbents. But as I've said from day one here during the recruiting process, Tony Boselli and Jonathan Ogden weren't walking through that door no matter who Purdue got from the junior college ranks. That position wasn't going to go from void, you know, to absolute strength, even if they got two junior college guys, because it is a difficult transition to go from junior college to starting in the Big Ten right away. So there is no guarantee those guys would have been great right away, but Purdue just wants options, and they want older, you know, more experienced, maybe a little bit more talented guys. So that's why they've sought out the junior college guys. So if they're not able to get them, then they're just going to, I guess, going to have to make the best of what they have.
Yeah. I'm sure at a later date we'll sort of review the whole class a little bit, but if they don't get any junior college tackles, is it a sort of a black eye on this recruiting class a little bit, that they weren't able to go out and get somebody?
Well, they didn't prioritize it from day one. They started prioritizing it probably about November, when, you know, you got to the point in the season where it was pretty obvious what your personnel needs were. I think if Purdue had gone all in from day one on recruiting junior college offensive tackles and didn't get anybody, I think so, yes. But I think Purdue, you know, didn't put an absolute emphasis on it all the way through. If Purdue had come into this class saying we absolutely have to have two inside linebackers who are pretty physical and didn't get any of them, then I would say, yes, that's a black eye on the class. But Purdue, in that context, got Juwan Bentley, got Keelan Robinson. If Purdue didn't get any defensive backs when it needed defensive backs, yeah, that would absolutely be a black eye. But I think Purdue shifted its focus to junior college offensive linemen so late in the game, relatively speaking. I don't know if I would call it a quote-unquote black eye or what have you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with your tweets. A couple of them in the can already. Get the late additions to us at goldenblack.com. We'll be back. You're listening to Golden Black Radio.
Think Follett's for your holiday shopping. Follett's Purdue Bookstores is the best place to find Purdue holiday gifts for everyone on your list. Select Purdue Columbia Sportswear, Purdue gift cards, Purdue basketball jerseys, Purdue basketball warm-ups, holiday sale books, and even the Drew Brees Hallmark Christmas ornament. Follett's is the perfect place to shop for all the Boilermaker fans on your shopping list this year. Purdue holiday shopping made easy at Follett's Purdue West or Follett's Black and Gold Mine. Follett's, a holiday tradition since 1945.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
All right, Brian, a follow-up from Wilbur on the offensive tackle situation. He asked, do we have any in-house options at offensive tackle? And, you know, J.J. Prince played a few snaps at right tackle last year. You know, a big question, I think he's an option maybe on the right side. You know, he does have to improve because, in those couple of snaps last year, you know, I don't think he certainly wasn't stellar, had great room for improvement, but he was only, a redshirt freshman then, will be a sophomore this coming year. On the left side, though, or a second guy, you know, there are some names, Joey Warburg perhaps, but you start to run out of names pretty quick of guys that you feel comfortable with saying absolutely they could go out there with very little experience.
Yeah, when we say Purdue doesn't have any offensive tackles, we're obviously being glib. They have guys who play offensive tackle. It's just they don't have anybody who's established. They don't have anybody who played. You certainly wouldn't say they have anybody who's proven. A lot of those guys are still young. Not really sure how Purdue got in the personnel bind it's in, where it just it's so thin at such an important position, but it just is. And Purdue has all these underclassmen still. But as Purdue struggled at the position with a couple of older guys playing this year, those guys didn't seem to even get a sniff, to play on game days, and that might be some sort of indication as to what where they stand with things right now. Obviously, they are still pretty young players, and they have plenty of time in their career, but at this point in time, they're needed right now, and I just don't know if Purdue has guys who are ready right now, and that's why you obviously wanted to fortify the ranks a little bit with those a couple of those junior college guys who are a little bit more further along physically and, have more experience, albeit at junior college level.
Right. All right, back to basketball real quick. Our old friend Mike asked us a question. How big of a deal is it that there are only 2 4-year seniors and no juniors on the basketball squad in regards to leadership?
Yeah, you obviously want to obviously want a lot of upperclassmen on your roster. You want good class balance, but you know, like the question said, you do want a lot of leadership too. Now, I don't think leadership has to come from seniors. You saw a Purdue team not all that long ago where Chris Kramer, you know, was a sophomore captain. Obviously, he was a little bit of a unique individual. Also, Purdue just didn't have strong upperclassmen ranks back then. What they did have was some pretty atypical underclassmen. Right now, Purdue has a lot of underclassmen. I don't know if they're cut from the same cloth as those guys back then were, but this is a pretty talented team still, and I think they have a lot of basketball left in their careers, and I think the future still can be pretty bright for these guys. I know last season was a disappointment. I know this season probably hasn't gone as a lot of people hoped it would. I expect them to be a little bit better than they are. But, you know, at the end of the day, you still are playing one senior who was on the team last year, significant minutes, and you aren't playing any juniors because you don't have any juniors. Obviously, we can go on and on about why that is with past recruiting classes, obviously not panning out whatsoever. But, you know, I think Purdue at the end of the day, and here's something else the excuse crowd always loves, is Purdue still is a pretty young team. And on top of being a young team, it is a very new team because even aside from all the sophomores and the freshmen, two of their other guys weren't on this team last year, and another one redshirted. So this is not a very experienced team. You'd still like to see them playing a little bit better than they are right now. You would like them to be playing a little bit more mature than they are right now. But, you know, there's still plenty of time left in their careers to kind of turn that corner.
Yeah. All right, that's it, Brian. Hey, thanks, and stay warm, too.
Yep, thank you.
All right. That's the show for this week. We'll be back again next week, 10 o'clock on Monday. Probably a lot of hoops talk that time and some football recruiting as well, as it will be just a couple of days until signing day. So that'll do it for us. Again, special thanks to our sponsors, Follett's in the Purdue West Shopping Center and at the Black and Gold Mine on Northwestern Avenue across from Mackey Arena, and RE/MAX Lafayette Group Realtor Bobby Charters. Reach Bobby at 765-426-9545. Join us again 10 o'clock next Monday. For Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.